We're back. I've got Dr. Will Tuttle with us this hour, the World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. And he's just the tip of the iceberg is what we're able to cover this time. But you're listening to Waking Up with Carolyn Kraft. I'm your host. And each week we come together to weave together stories and powerful information by visionaries and futurists in this new world movement. And Dr. Tuttle is definitely bringing us ideas, sort of like backing up from the earth and thinking in new paradigms, thinking new ways. He's also a musician, and if you want to learn about his music, you just heard a selection from one of his CDs. You can log on to willtuttle.com, and this is obviously a way of life for Will, but also by putting it in a book, it can be inspirational for each of you listening. You know, one of the things that I feel like, Will, when I'm into being more conscious of what I'm eating, it seems like it's always about what not to do, and I'm always looking for those things to be right, you know, plastered on the refrigerator to do. Like, these are the foods you should eat. So I was asking you about the vegan diet, and I know I've had a few people on the air that have also talked about, there's one great book called Vegan Cuisine that these guys have a restaurant in California, a restaurant in New York, and so forth. So it's getting, like you said earlier, getting creative. Right. With the items. But you also speak to overall health and how that blends in with Charles Fillmore and consciousness too.
Right. Okay. Well, what I would say, first of all, is that people basically have the idea, if they're going to become a vegan, say, and not eat any animal foods at all, that you're giving up something. There's that sense of, oh, I'm giving up. And nobody wants to give up anything. And from my point of view, it's not giving up anything. It's really opening to a whole new vast panorama of possibilities. There's lots of new recipes that are available. There's lots of new cuisines that become much more interesting and exciting, like cuisines like Middle Eastern cuisine, Asian, Indian, South American. These are basically plant-based cuisines, Mediterranean. So there's a huge variety of foods that can be eaten. And it's also, I think, on a very deep level, freeing of oneself. And I can talk about that. The thing I guess I have to say is this book is over 300 pages, and I don't ever repeat anything. So for me to say in a few minutes much, it's very difficult. There's so much I can't even go into. But anyway, the idea of your question about the health, on the physical level, there's a whole chapter about the basic fact that our bodies are designed for a plant-based diet, that cholesterol and animal fat and animal protein, all three of those things are essentially toxic to us. We don't think they're toxic, but the research that's being done now and has been done in the last 20 years, for example, T. Colin Campbell's book, the largest nutritional study ever done, he comes to the conclusion that the optimal amount of protein from animals in one's diet is zero. And this is, the largest study, the Oxford Cornell study, huge, most the Grand Prix. And so we can look at this at a very deep level and see that we don't have a body that is designed to eat animal foods. And we also have a basic, I think, at a very deep level, a disgust of flesh and fluids of animals, and so they have to be covered over, cooked, added
fried.
Lots of plant foods and sauces and covering it and all of this, because the most hardened hunter or whoever would never, be able to chase down a deer, it would happen so rarely, and with their own mouth bite into the flesh and eat, like an ant, like a real carnivore would. We would never, and they eat the organs raw. I mean, all this stuff is like totally awful for us to even contemplate. So we're forced into a culture where we don't have a choice in the matter. And so on the physical health really does suffer. And honestly, I go into this more, I'll just say maybe briefly, but we do have a medical establishment that's enormous, and it really is invested heavily by banks and financial institutions, and really requires a flood of sick people, a reliable flood of sick people, to keep to pay back the bankers in the background and keep this thing going. And so I haven't been to a doctor in 30 years. I haven't spent any money on drugs or pharmaceuticals or anything. And most vegans are like that. You just don't get sick. I mean, it's a whole different way of living, and it would wipe out the medical establishment. So, grossly reduce it. And the other thing is that environmentally, it takes a fraction of the amount of soil, water, air, and petroleum to eat a vegan diet, because you're just eating the grains directly rather than feeding them to fish or to cows for milk or cheese or to chickens or to other animals for their flesh. So all of the manure and the byproducts and all of that is just wiped out. So you can feed, I have it in the book, it's like 20 vegans in the same amount of land and resources as one or two people eating a standard American diet. So on that level, but the level I really am most interested in the book is what it does to us spiritually and psychologically, that health, the health spiritually.
I wanted, before you shift there, and I think this might be a natural shift, is what will it take? I mean, people can hear you right now and also see you as a model. And you were saying earlier about the behavior first, consciousness later.
Yeah.
What about that being so mesmerized, being in that herd mentality? What is it that it takes to help shift even not necessarily the consciousness, but the conscience, besides reading your book? What I'm asking?
For an individual?
Yeah, well, in general, what will it take for the mesmerization to get out of in the book is powerful.
I think if people actually read the book, if they go through the book and read it from beginning to end, it would be hard not to move pretty far towards being a vegan. But people tend, I think,
there's something
only read it if
back.
They're ready. I mean,
if
they're not ready, they won't read it. Yeah, there is.
I'm thinking of John Robbins and the Diet for New America, and you read that and what happens with the slaughtering. So it's been out a while, but it has shifted a number of people. But it seems like there's got to be a greater shift.
I go into that in the book. The basic thing is, if you go back 10,000 years, that's when we first started herding animals, and it went over many centuries, and it's become the living, absolute core of our culture. This is one of the main ideas in my book, is that this is the invisible core. When you put your finger on meals, on people's food, you're actually touching the living heart and core and sore of our culture. But people don't think so. People think, oh no, food isn't anything. I just eat. My real thing is my
press
work
on.
My mission. But it's food. That's what I argue, and I feel it very deeply that is where our whole consciousness as a culture and as individuals connects with the greater order, with nature, with the culture, with the universe. It comes when we partake of it. It comes into us. It transforms and becomes this vehicle. So it's extremely powerful spiritually as a metaphor and in our own lives. It's very powerful. So this, but it's invisible. So when we put our finger on that and start looking at it, it's really, in a sense, what they call the elephant in the living room that no one wants to look at. Carl Jung talked about the shadow. He said, the bigger the shadow is, the harder it is to see. And this is the biggest. This is the shadow of all shadows, is our treatment of animals for food. And people think it's nothing because they don't want to look at it, because the underlying sense of grief, I think, is very enormous of what we're really doing to these creatures. It's such a huge level. It's so vast, and it's so institutionalized, and it's so ritualized in our daily. The main rituals that we do in our culture is eat our three meals. That's our three rituals.
But the denial helps with not going into the grief, and again, not knowing how, or wanting to give the time and energy to making that shift in your own beingness.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I talk in here in the book about the reasons why people have a difficulty, and pretty much it's the social pressure and all of that.
We're going to come back because we need to go to a break, and we're going to have one more segment with you, which will just touch on everything that we want to hear. But you're listening to Waking Up with Carolyn Kraft. We'll be back right after this break.